The No Better Than Average podcast is a proud member of the Geek News Central Network. Like No Better Than Average? Check out the other great shows on the network. The Elder Divide, The Gadget Professor, Geek News Central, Health Tech Weekly, and The New Media Show. You can find our show and all these great shows through our website, nobettershow.com, or at geeknewscentral.com. If it's geek, we've got it. Jeff and I both know we have the most awesome fans on the whole internet, and awesome fans join the No Better newsletter. It's free, it's fast, and we promise we will not abuse your information. Plus, you'll get the latest info on the show, drawings and giveaways, and cool announcements. Join today at nobettershow.com/join. What are you waiting for? nobettershow.com/join.
Hard-hitting, intelligent discussion, painstakingly researched, thought-provoking opinions, and deep insight when you need it most. You'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a secret location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Mediocre Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your hosts, Jacob Cazell and Jeff Janey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 55 of the No Better Than Average podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Cheney. Along with me today is, as always, friend, cohort, confidant, all-around swell guy, Jacob Cazell. How's it going, Jacob?
I am doing great. I also would like to maybe think of myself as a raconteur.
Ooh,
Maybe use one of them $6
words. A raccoon tour.
Basically, I just take a bunch of raccoons and we put on Broadway shows the country.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
We're doing Death of a Salesman next. That's how he dies. He's eaten by rabid raccoons.
That's pretty cool. Hey, as always, we would really appreciate any call in comments to our phone line where you can talk to a machine as God intended. You can call 317-643-1212. Give us some rants, raves, comments, questions, concerns, ideas for a new music playlist. Tell us to quit doing the music playlist because we're not musicians. I don't care, whatever. We're always looking for any patronage help. We appreciate all of our patrons. And if you are interested in helping out, you can go head on over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/nobettershow. I think we still put in the music playlist challenge up there, the 80s playlist. We put a link in the show notes for Apple Music, and now that's also available on Android. So
that's right.
Yeah. So now, you know, all you Android folks can also get Apple Music and listen to our playlist.
And actually, Android folks, sign up for it because you get 3 months 100% completely free.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, even if you keep your Google Play All Access or you keep your Spotify, sign up for the Apple Music. I mean, maybe you'll like it. And 3 months free.
I've really enjoyed it. I think it's a pretty darn good service and very exciting that they came out with Android. My daughter still has the Android phone, so she was excited because now we're all family using the music of Apple, and it's nice.
Yeah, it works really well.
So does Spotify. So does Google All Access. I mean, I held out to get the Apple, and the $15 a month for a family plan is killer.
Oh, it is. And I think Spotify has something similar to that. It may be the same price. I don't know if Google does.
I've heard that that's coming soon.
Okay. I do think one of the nice things with Google, though, is I think if you pay for the Google All Access, you also get access to the YouTube service, right, where you can have unlimited video streaming for all of the music with music videos, which is pretty nice.
It's actually you get the new Google YouTube Red, whatever it's called.
Right.
So you get no commercials on YouTube at all.
And I think you can cache the stuff locally and take it when you're offline.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
I think, you know, obviously that's got to be a loss leader for them. But
they have the pockets to do it. I really like the Google Play. The problem I ran into is, and I think it's my stupid car, because, you know, car manufacturers never update nothing once the car's out there. They're not required to by law. Mm-hmm. And so when I hook my phone up to my car, like my podcast apps work like 95%. The Apple Music app works pretty flawlessly. The Google Play app doesn't work reliably at all. Like, it's completely random if it's going to let me move to the next track. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it just stops working and I have to reboot my phone to get it to work again. And that's the only reason I dropped Google.
Yeah, that's no fun. I am loving CarPlay so much.
I am jealous.
So awesome. Overcast works like a champ. The Apple Music is amazing. Being able to talk to Siri with my steering wheel little microphone thing. Oh, God, I love it. It's awesome.
Okay,
it's
so
awesome.
This was my question. You said, so your daughter has an Android and she's using the Apple Music app. On Android, can you talk to it and control Apple Music through Google's Voice Assist?
You know what? I have no idea.
Because
I have not.
For me,
the
killer feature is the Siri integration. So when I'm driving, I can hit that is one thing my car will do. It'll call up Siri and I can hit the button and then tell Siri, hey, you know, play this or play that album or find this. And I don't have to go filling in the app. And I will say, the app is terrible for like a interface that you want to try and use while you're hurtling down the road at 60 miles an hour. Like everything's little teeny tiny. It's not conducive to driving and using it. So the voice interaction is amazing. So the two thumbs up for that. Long time coming. It was long overdue.
Yeah. The Siri with the CarPlay is just, it is killer. It is a killer feature.
Yeah. I'm not going to buy a new car just for that, but I am jealous.
No, but just like when you get the little beep that you got a message, you can say, hey Siri, read that text message to me.
Nice.
And then she'll read it to you and then you can say, respond to that. It's really nice. Very cool.
Well, we've got a whole bunch of stuff in our notes today. I'm just gonna
a metric crap ton.
It is, and that is an official measurement. So I'm not even going to pretend like we're going to get to it all. But I figured we could try and hit a bunch of stuff. And I came up with a bunch of quickies. It looks like there was a lot of news out this week. So I thought maybe we could run down some of these. I don't know how many of these you may have seen yet, Jeff. But
yeah, I saw quite a bit of them actually.
I just saw and. Gosh darn it, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apparently this last week, someone managed to crash a drone, a quadcopter of some kind, into Seattle's Great Wheel. It's the giant Ferris wheel-looking thing in Seattle, which you've probably seen lots of drone footage of because people like to fly around it. Well, someone flew their drone into the dang thing. Apparently the wheel wasn't hurt, but the drone dropped out of the sky and crashed onto a restaurant's patio. I did not hear if anybody was hurt or injured, but darn it, people, this is the kind of thing that's going to make the FAA shut it all down. Stop it.
Yeah.
So
if you can't control your drone, for gosh sakes, don't fly it near things. I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean... It bothers me because, you know, clearly, even if there is no restriction about it, you should probably think twice about flying something that weighs enough to cause serious damage in a heavily populated area around, you know, a huge landmark. People are gonna notice that. Now, because there is no registration yet, apparently they have not identified the owner who, you know, if they were smart, probably put their head down and ran far away. I don't know, you know, I'm definitely not one for more and more government regulation, but I don't know that I'm necessarily so opposed to, you know, some sort of a registration system, even if it costs a little bit of money, that requires you to register heavier, more powerful, you know, RC platforms so that at least they can track it back to, hey, it's, you know, Joe Bingham, and what were you doing, Joe? You're ruining it for everybody, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So, one that I saw on the quickies list that I had wanted to point out was something that I had thought for a long time that I was surprised that they hadn't gone down this road, and that is that Apple is working on a peer-to-peer payment system.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought, you know, like Apple Pay, just being able to say, "Oh, Jacob, I owe you $5," dink, and hit my phone up against yours and say, "Pay him $5."
You know, you say that, but there's a lot that goes into making that happen on the back end because of all of the interchange fees and everything.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not saying that there aren't, you know, hurdles to overcome. I've just always thought that would be a feature that would be worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, I mean, nowadays, most people, I mean, I speak for myself in my very small circle of associates. We don't carry cash.
No, absolutely. And I'm just thinking like that the other day when there were a bunch of us that went out to eat and the waitress was kind of giving us the stink eye for having five checks.
You mean I've got to ring everybody up?
Yeah. You know, I mean, stuff like that would be, you know, it would be kind of nice to just be able to, you know, have one check and then have everyone go, oh, here's your seven, you know, whatever. And
right.
That would have been nice. Anyway, I think from what I've read, they're saying that it's going to, you know, they're going to get Chase, Capital One, Wells Fargo, and several other banks on as potential partners. I think this could be a big deal, right?
You know, it could be. And one of the articles I read said that it's still speculative. I don't know that it's a done deal.
It's not. Yeah.
And they said it would be a platform that would compete with PayPal's popular Venmo app, which makes me feel a little dumb because I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, I've never heard of Venmo. I mean, I've used PayPal to pay someone, you know, that had said, oh, well, I have a PayPal account that I use all the time. And so I just, you know, $20, here you go. But I've never used a specific app.
Yeah, no, I haven't either. I know PayPal has, like, they have the little credit card reader like Square does. I mean, everybody's got that now. And it's not surprising to me because, I mean, for the longest time, PayPal has been used for, you know, person-to-person type transactions online and things like that. So I would imagine that they would have to be somewhat scared if Apple does this. Although, how prevalent do you see a lot of people using Apple Pay? Because I don't. I was just at a Meijer store this afternoon and used the Apple Pay on my watch. And the gal checking us out went, that is so cool. She said, you're like the second person I've seen do that. And I even said, you know, oh, do a lot of people Apple Pay? And she goes, not really. So, I mean, it's pretty rare, I think, still.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the ability to do little transactions like that, it actually might make it more popular because, you know, let's face it, there aren't a lot of places that take Apple Pay yet as compared to the places that don't.
Right.
I mean, you know, there are obviously a few places that do, but the majority of places do not. And I just think, I think more people would use it if it was everywhere, because, you know, it's one of those kind of things where if you could get it to where it was everywhere, you wouldn't have to carry your wallet or you wouldn't have to ever get your wallet out.
Oh, absolutely. I love it.
Oh, I do too. I mean, I use it any place that I possibly can. I absolutely 100% use it, but I just, you know, until it's prevalent at the more places than it isn't, you know, it's like one of those things where I think once it gets over that hurdle, and I mean, it's not just Apple Pay, it's Google Pay or Android Wallet or whatever they call it now. You know, all the places take both. I just wish we would get over that hurdle. But I think that idea of having microtransactions and doing, you know, little transactions between two people, I think that that could be even bigger than, you know, because then you're basically putting a payment system in everyone who owns an iPhone's hands. And that's a lot of people.
Yeah. And, you know, if you think about it, not even for here in America, but in the developing nations, I think that's super powerful. I've read several stories about some of these mobile payment systems are basically usurping banking in India for people who just can't get a bank account, which is a surprising percentage of the population.
Well, I'm just even thinking like, you know, like you sell something on Craigslist and you meet someone in a parking lot and they just go, bink, there's $50. Okay.
Yeah. And you don't have to take cash.
You don't have to take cash. You don't have to deal with. I mean, like I said, I think it could be a big deal.
Absolutely.
I'm so looking forward to it. That's
make it
for
happen,
sure.
Apple.
Yeah,
make
let's do this. Let's make it happen.
So I guess continuing the Apple thing a little bit, I know everybody is loves how much we just bash Apple and don't talk about them enough. If you were one of the few people who used Beats Music, time to switch to something else. Apple is finally shuttering it. It is shutting down at the end of this month on the 30th. Apparently, and I didn't even know this, but they have not allowed new signups since Apple Music went live back in July. I know that Beats only had a few hundred thousand, 250, 300,000 subs, I think, at their peak, which, it was a shame because I signed up, I used the free trial, and it was pretty nice. I liked it. I liked the way they did their, I think they called it the sentence where you put in, like, it's kind of like a Mad Lib, like, I am blank driving, and I feel like listening to blank, you know, classic rock, and, you know, it would build a curated playlist. And I know that that's the hot thing now, and everybody's got curated playlists and whatnot, but Beats is shutting down. They are providing tools to migrate your songs and your playlists and all of that to Apple Music, and users who do not switch, apparently your service will be shut off and you are done at the end of the month. So move on. Beats is done.
Yeah. Let's see, another one that I saw that you put on the list. You put everything on the list, but there were a lot of the stuff that I saw and how I keep all my things. I don't know what you do, but I tend to read my articles in Feedly. And I do the save for later.
Yeah.
So I go through at the end and I have this huge list of things I'm going to put on the show notes and then you have them all. So
I basically scramble and go, oh my gosh, I've got to put something on here to talk about. We're just going to sit here for 50 minutes going, yeah.
And we've never done that and we never will, but that's okay.
I'm nervous. I'm a prepper.
Yes, you are.
Are you going to do the iFixit one?
No. I was actually going to talk about the Bluetooth. I saw that the Bluetooth SIG, the company that oversees the technology that is Bluetooth, has announced big updates to the spec are coming. They're basically saying that Bluetooth connections in general will have 4 times the range, 100% speed boost, and require no more power than they currently have.
Right.
So that's going to be a nice addition for, you know, everything we use now that uses Bluetooth, and some of the things are not as good as you would like. I know, you know, some people complain about Bluetooth mice and having a millisecond lag and, you know, that kind of stuff. So that this could be a good deal for those of us who like the Bluetooth convenience and, you know, getting more speed, more range, you know, for your Bluetooth headphones, for your mouse, for connections between, you know, speakers. That could be a nice thing.
Well, I think the thing that is potentially the most exciting is that they are implementing mesh networking capabilities.
Right.
And they said that because, you know, the current hot buzzword is Internet of Things and, you know, smart home and whatnot is, you know, today everything has to talk back to your hub or, you know, to each other over, you know, mostly like a Bluetooth or Bluetooth LE link. And so if you've got a big house or something that's just plumb far away, it could be spotty and it may not be reliable. But with this new Bluetooth 5, everything will be able to create a mesh network and talk to each other so that you could, you know, dramatically extend the range of the connections. And obviously they're going to be a lot faster. You know, one thing that I was looking for, and I couldn't find a definitive answer, but it does look like you're going to need a new chipset to take advantage of Bluetooth 5, which is not surprising because they're changing it. So it's going to be another generation of stuff that you're going to have to wait until it comes out with the new spec. I really hope that they pay attention to the quality of Bluetooth music streaming, because, you know, for like Bluetooth headphones, I think it's okay, because usually I have some inexpensive pairs and I'm using them in places where, you know, it's convenient. Like I'm cutting the grass and I'm just not getting like super high fidelity. But I had a little Bluetooth gizmo in my car and I was having some problems when I got the new iPhone with my car not recognizing it. So I found a little doohickey that's actually an AirPlay receiver and got that in place. And holy cow, the quality difference between the little Bluetooth streaming dongle and the AirPlay streaming dongle is night and day. So I really think that they need to increase the quality in the HTTP streaming. Because it's not great.
Well, you know, you would think if you're getting more power, more range, that they could take some of that and increase bandwidth. You would think. I don't know.
Potentially. I mean, I just hope they do it, especially because, you know, I mean, Bluetooth audio is becoming so ubiquitous. I mean, heck, we have a little, you know, stereo system, but I couldn't even tell you the last time we turned it on, but we've got a little, you know, $40 Bluetooth speaker that it gets used all the time. I went to use it the other day and the battery was dead because it had been used to the point that the battery was dead. It's super convenient. No doubt about it. Hey, Android fans, apparently there is a new Android exploit that will hack any handset in one shot. Apparently hackers have discovered a critical exploit in Chrome for Android, capable of compromising virtually every version of Android running the latest Chrome. Apparently the inner workings have not been really announced yet, but it leverages something in JavaScript version 8, and it will allow you to gain full administrative access to the phone. PacSec, which is a security outfit, their organizer, and gosh, this is a good name, Dragos Ryu, said, quote, I will break you. As soon as the phone accessed the website, the JavaScript version 8 vulnerability in Chrome was used to install an arbitrary application, in this case, a BMX bike game, without any user interaction to demonstrate complete control of the phone. So, you know, everybody always says, hey, update, always keep yourself updated, and the the newest and the latest greatest, but that's a little scary.
Yeah,
and that's like the second big Android vulnerability in the last 6 months or so. So
yeah,
there might be something to Apple's walled garden kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I still wonder if we're not going to see more of a walled garden with the, you know, if Google or when Google comes out with this new OS. I think we're going to see a little bit more, a little tighter control.
Yeah. I mean, it's there's negatives to it. Like you can't do the things that you want to do if the company won't let you, but there's also upsides too.
Absolutely.
I thought this was interesting, especially since you are an Xbox One owner.
Yeah.
Halo 5 has helped to boost Xbox One sales.
Right.
And apparently they finally beat the PlayStation 4 in October for the first time ever.
Right.
And this blew me away. Microsoft said that sales were up 81% over October of last year.
Right.
And the other thing that blew me away is that the PlayStation has outsold the Xbox 2-1 with estimated 22.3 million PS4s out there against 12.8 million Xbox One units.
You know, PS4 had some better titles early on, but I think you're going to see that flip for the Christmas season between Halo 5 and...
I know there's a new Tomb Raider title coming out. Is that an Xbox exclusive?
Yeah, and the other big Xbox exclusive is the other one, Fallout 4, is going to be big. So between that and Halo 5, and there is a new Forza game coming out, I think you might see a big push this Christmas season with the Xbox One. Now, we are an Xbox family. We have an Xbox One. That actually went away to... college with my son. Yeah.
Because that's what you need to send a freshman to school with, is something that wastes time all day
long. Well, he did not take it when he first went. And you know, we talked about it, and he has enough friends up there that are playing that, you know, we were just like, yeah, that, you know, you can go ahead and take it. We are going to get another Xbox One at Christmas time.
Jeff gets a new toy.
No, I mean, you know, we're going to get another one. My other son, you know, is like, my friends are playing Halo 5 and I can't. And then, you know, I want to get the new Star Wars Battlefront. But,
yeah, that looks amazing.
Yeah. So anyway, we will be getting a new one, but I did talk to, interestingly, you know, you talk about the PS4. I did talk to my son and was like, you know, we could get a PS4 if you'd rather get that. He's like, oh, no. I got to get you Halo 5, and I want to play Halo Fallout 4, and I can't play those on PlayStation. So, yeah, I mean, you know.
It is. I mean, the console wars are still definitely kind of that holy war thing. The Sony folks are, you know, Sony's the best and everything else can suck it. And Microsoft is, you know, just the opposite. And I don't know what the right answer is.
They're both good machines.
I think I've read if you're a hardcore gamer, I think the PS4 is slightly better, but it lacks all of the other things that I guess Microsoft does a lot better.
Well, you know, like Microsoft content. Just released the Windows 10 for Xbox
right.
One. And it's really, really nice. Jared says it's amazing. So, you know, I think Xbox, you're going to see see some significant improvements. And I know he's been playing Halo 5. I haven't seen it yet because he's had it up there with him. Yeah, exactly. But
sounds like someone needs to make a trip to college.
Yeah, he was saying that it is just beautiful. Apparently, it is 1080p at 60 frames per second. All the time. And apparently it is just gorgeous. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the Xbox is not capable of 4K, right? And I think the PlayStation is.
Yeah, that's what they say. The Xbox is capable of 2K. Yeah,
that's still, I mean, that's which pretty
is,
good.
Which is pretty good. And quite, I don't know, the whole 4K thing, like I keep seeing these ads for TVs and I'm like, God, man, I want a 4K, and then I think, you know, what am I really going to get out of that? Not much.
I don't
right?
know. I was at Sam's Club last weekend, and they had a 49-inch Vizio on sale with a $100 instant rebate. It made it $499.
So today we were at Sam's Club, and they were running their Black Friday stuff this weekend.
Okay.
And they had a 60-inch Vizio for $999.
Wow.
And I was like, man, that's, you know, $1,000. That's kind of like, that's not bad.
No, considering it literally this time last year, we were talking about, you know, like a $1,500 no-name Chinese brand and how cheap it was. And now we're like, you know, oh, you can $500, you can get a Vizio 50-inch.
Yeah.
That's amazing that the technology's come down so much in such a short period of time.
And you know, I saw an ad. I think it was from Newegg for a Sharp.
Okay.
70-inch for $14.99.
Oh wow!
And I was just like, it's so cheap, but I just don't know what I'm going to get out of it. And you know, I'm a gadget guy, but I just, you know, I'm not going to get anything off my cable box in 4K.
No.
You know, yeah, okay, I could probably watch a few things on Netflix, but I've heard that the compression on that is so bad that it's really not all that great in 4K. I think YouTube...
And you have to pay extra for it, too.
Yeah, and YouTube has a few things in 4K, mm-hmm. but again, not a bunch. So I still think we're a year, maybe 2 years away.
Well, I think you're future-proofing yourself. That's the only reason.
Well, if I had to buy a new TV, you know, like one of mine broke or the dog jumped through it or, you know, whatever. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Why wouldn't you?
I would obviously buy a 4K because they're the price they are, but there's no reason for me to go out and buy a 4K TV. That's what I'm saying.
No, no. I'm in a situation. I have that old giant rear projection monstrosity. I know I need to buy one, but you know, now I've got a wife and a budget and
blah, blah, blah.
I know it'll happen, but and I will say, I'm sure that I'm sure that Sharps and Samsungs and all of them do this. I know that the Vizio up converts everything.
Right.
And they had it playing a Blu-ray, and you know, I mean, obviously I'm not doing a side-by-side comparison.
Well, 4K Blu-ray is coming out, you know, right now too. So,
but I mean, I wasn't doing a side-by-side comparison with a 1080p monitor, but it did look really good. I mean, it's amazing for $500. I was really tempted to put it in the cart, and I mean, the wife was even not. She wasn't giving me the look. It was more
that 40 something inches though.
49. I know, but 49 inches. That's, I could make it work. I could live with it for $500.
A 60 inch for $1,000.
But here's the thing, a lot easier to find $500 in the budget than $1,000.
Well,
as far as hey, we don't need a new TV, but let's get a new TV anyway.
Yeah, I keep telling you need to throw your dog through that TV. Let's face it, you put a T-bone up there, she's in it. Just a boom.
You put a T-bone up there and I'm in it. Okay, it's a T-bone. Well. okay, and then the last quickie one, which I know we've spent already half the episode talking about quickies. We haven't even gotten into any of our other stories. Again, this is why we can't have nice things. What the hell is wrong with you people? So Wednesday night, Veterans Day, this last week, there were 20 laser strikes on airplanes across the country in one night. Apparently reports in the New York City area, at Dallas's Love Field, in Jamestown, New York, Los Angeles, Oakland, Palm Springs, Ontario, and Sacramento, California, Covington and Danville, Kentucky, Salt Lake City, Utah, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Detroit, Michigan, St. Petersburg, Florida, Springfield, Illinois, and San Juan, Puerto Rico. What the heck? Apparently, in 2015, there have been 5,352 laser strikes on airplanes already through the middle of October. Apparently, if you do it and get caught and successfully prosecuted, you are facing 20 years in federal prison and a $250,000 fine. It's hard to catch people and convict them, but they are doing it, and there are stories online. And the scary thing is that you could go online today, right now, and you can buy a 100-milliwatt laser, which is way above the 5-milliwatt, you know, you can go buy it at the drugstore, and it's a reasonably safe limit, for $70. Mm. And you can blind someone with that. I mean, 100 milliwatts in a laser is a dangerous thing for 99% of people to have. And then the people who do have them are going out and pointing them at airplanes.
Don't point anything in an airplane. Ever.
Why are people doing that? What makes people do that?
I don't know. But I'm still waiting. I mean, when are we going to see a drone hit a plane for the first time?
Well, oh, but there's rules that you say you can't fly a drone within 5 miles of an airport, so that wouldn't happen. Jacob, just like there's rules that say you can't have a gun in Chicago.
Or Paris.
Well, that's true.
I'm just saying.
I don't understand why people think that because it's hard for people to catch them, it's okay to do it. And interestingly, I did see something on the news when they were talking about this story, and they said that that there's a very typical profile of people who they have caught that do this. And go figure, it's typically a white male between the ages of 18 and 26.
Yeah.
Who is reclusive and apparently lives in their mother's basement and spends a lot of time online. It just, like, stop it, guys. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I don't know. I just, people who screw things up for all of us really have been sticking in my craw lately. Because, I mean, that and the drone people, and I'm not going to be able to own anything fun. Everything's going to be regulated out of my life.
Yep.
Darn it. Get off my lawn.
What if you strapped a 100 megawatt laser onto a drone?
100 megawatt laser? I think you'd have a hard time getting off the ground. What with the huge car batteries that you have to fly?
I used the wrong
milliwatt.
Milliwatt.
I didn't. You're like a double douche. Like,
I think this is totally something that needs to happen.
And, you know, and for $70, why wouldn't you buy like 5 or 6 of them and point them in all different directions? Because they're not much bigger than the traditional like pin size laser pointer that you get. So you could easily fly 4 or 5 of those on a drone. No problem.
Maybe you could do 4 or 5 pointing at a disco ball hanging underneath the drone. What could possibly go wrong?
I feel like that's going to send you to jail for a long time. Let's not do that. Let's not give people ideas.
Oh, I hope our listeners are smart enough to know that I am kidding. This is a joke. Don't do this.
Yeah, well, it's not our listeners I'm worried about. It's like when the Secret Service hears us and has to take everything we say literally and seriously.
Yeah, well.
Because that's what they do.
I suppose.
Okay, so shifting into something that is a little bit more research. I saw this and it really just, I'm like, come on. This is what needs to be happening now. Timex has just released a watch/wearable. It is called the Timex Metropolitan Plus, and it is an analog watch and an activity tracker. Apparently, there is a lot of interest in that market from more traditional manufacturers, and Timex is really one of the first that has embraced it with their new activity tracker. You know, for a long time, I wore a traditional watch and I also wore a Fitbit and, you know, it looks stupid. And, you know, I like the ability to track stuff. And I also want just a normal watch and not have to wear a bunch of stuff. And, you know, I like that about the Apple Watch. Don't get me wrong. But I think this is a great thing that, you know, more traditional manufacturers are starting to think this way. And, you know, apparently they're even going to be having sleep tracking coming early next spring. It'll sync with Bluetooth through an app called the Timex Connected app, and then you can share all that information into popular fitness and activity tracking apps. And here's the thing that really surprised me, and I don't know if you looked in the notes and saw the picture. It's actually a pretty nice-looking watch.
Yeah, it's not my favorite, but, you know, it's not horrible-looking.
No, and it's only $140, and I think you can actually get it a little less other places. That's through Amazon with Prime shipping. I think Timex is doing some interesting things. I was looking at some of their other newer models, and you know, it's definitely not the Timex from 20 or 30 years ago. But I hope that this really spurs other makers, in the middle to low end of the market to start looking at this stuff, because it would be nice to have a watch that doesn't make you look like a big techno dork and have that activity tracking. And you know, something I've noticed, like a year ago, everybody was wearing like Fitbits and whatnot, and I don't notice them nearly as much anymore. I'm kind of curious if the wearable craze is cooling off. I don't know what your experience has been. I know you work with a bunch of young people.
They all wear them.
They do.
They all do.
So it's just shifting demographics as to who's wearing them now.
Yeah, I see a lot of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't notice them as much. I mean, like I said, a year ago, everybody had one.
Is it just because you don't notice them because it's become something that you're used to seeing, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, I still see a lot of them.
But I tend to look for watches just because I'm a watch guy. And I've noticed that there's not as many people wearing anything anymore. Like for a long time, nobody wore watches. Nobody wore activity trackers. And then activity trackers exploded and everybody was wearing activity trackers. And I've kind of noticed it die off a little bit. And, you know, surprisingly, I have not noticed as many people wearing smartwatches either. I don't know if that is something that is, you know, kind of dying down as a thing.
I haven't seen as many of those. There was another individual that works in the area that I did that got an Apple Watch, but I think that's the only other smartwatch that I've seen around, you know, in my new company. So I don't see a lot of smartwatches.
Well, yeah, I thought it was interesting, and I liked the way it looked. I mean, it is still a Timex, but I thought it was, seems I thought a it was a good
spendy,
looking watch.
Seems a little spendy for a Timex, but I mean, I guess, you know, compared to what...
Yeah, but a Fitbit's going to set you back 150 bucks if you want like the one with the heart rate and all of that stuff.
No, I mean, compared to what you other things you get, I just don't know if Timex, like if people are going to be like, yeah, I want to put 150 bucks down on a Timex. There's a name thing there.
It is. But, you know, hopefully maybe, you know, Seiko and Casio and, you know, some of the other, you know, certainly they're not, you know, luxury brands by any stretch, but they make, you know, a decent, fairly inexpensive watch. Maybe they'll get into that market space. Yeah. Speaking of watches, I thought this was interesting. Fossil, makers of watches and wallets and all kinds of accessories, apparently just bought Misfit, the company that makes a health tracker, the Misfit Shine line. And they just announced that they are buying Misfit for 260 million smackaroonies. Apparently, they are primarily buying Misfit for access to customers who are wearable buyers, as well as their design team. I thought this was interesting. I had to go look because, you know, it seems like, you know, these companies have been around a long time. But Misfit came to market just at the end of 2013. It feels like it was a lot longer ago than that. It's just been 2 years. But they were kind of unique because they were one of the very first fully waterproof activity trackers out there. So I don't know. Is this a sign of coming consolidation in the market? I mean, who else is out there? You've got Misfit, you've got Fitbit, you've got Jawbone.
Jawbone, yeah.
I know there's others. There's Withings has one. And
Garmin
has
one.
But they're kind of, I mean, you don't see them nearly as much as you see the Jawbones and you see the Fitbits. Those have got to be the two biggest ones.
Jawbone and Fitbit are the two bigger ones, I would say, yeah.
So, you know, does this mean that Fitbit needs to be nervous, or are they looking at, you know, selling out to somebody else?
Yeah, I don't
Interesting.
Know.
Interesting.
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm curious if this is a sign that the wearables are starting to become a bit passe. Like we just said, I don't notice as many people wearing them. I think it's interesting that you do. I'm just curious if it's the age thing, because, you know, where I work, there tend to be a lot more older people, and where you work, I think you're one of the geezers, aren't you?
Oh, I am. I'm an old man there for sure.
So, I thought that was interesting.
Hey, just another quick one I wanted to throw in. Wasn't in the show notes, but, it made my heart, you know, bleed just a little bit. I don't know if you saw this, and I don't know if you even knew that it was still alive, but Betamax is officially dying.
I did see that. I didn't put it in, but I didn't even know you could still buy the cassettes.
Yeah, so they haven't made an actual Betamax player or recorder since 2002. So,
oh, okay, but still, since 2002, can you even buy a VHS deck anymore?
No, but they still make the tapes until now. So it's officially end of life. They aren't making the tapes anymore.
Who was buying them?
Well, here's the funny thing, that, you know, you say that, but I know for a fact that the Betamax player that we bought back in the 90s, okay,
which is still funny to say, back in the 90s.
It still works.
It was a dead format in the 90s.
It still works.
I know, but would you use it?
Well,
in the day of TiVo and DVR everywhere and streaming?
Would I use it? No. Are there people that would use it? Absolutely.
Somewhere there's a 70-year-old man sobbing.
Yeah.
No, I've lost my Betamax tapes.
Didn't you? Wasn't there someone that you knew that like was recording everything?
No. I read a story. This was just this year. There was a lady, and we may have actually talked about it in one of our early episodes.
I mean, it's ringing like it's in the.
There was a lady who, just for whatever reason, back in the mid 80s, I want to say, started recording the news. And then became an archivist and ended up with a house full of VCRs and recorded all of the news channels, local channels, and then she started recording all the cable news channels around the clock, 24 hours a day. And she died this year, and, you know, she was like in her late 80s. And it turns out she has this treasure trove of videos of all of this news, and it's been turned over to archivists, I believe, at a university, who are going through and trying to catalog it and log it. And they said that it's actually like a huge treasure, because a lot of those news broadcasts were never saved and archived by the stations. And so it is a look at like 35 years of round the clock continuous recording.
And I don't remember who I was talking to. Obviously it wasn't you, but someone that I'm friends with, can't remember who, we were just talking about, and someone had, I want to say like 30 years of Price is Right on VHS.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's cool, one, but two, why?
I don't know, but I just thought about that. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, DVRs are awesome, but you don't tend to just like see something like that. Like, you don't keep stuff for months or years on your DVR.
No, that really seems more like someone who has a problem.
Yeah,
I
understand.
That's definitely like they probably also have 30 years of newspapers in their house, and they probably pee in mason jars and keep it around, just because. I feel that maybe. That borders on like Howard Hughes levels of weird. Just saying.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, what about the Google Maps? That was kind of an interesting news bit that starting November 10th for Android, Google Maps gets offline navigation and search.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting because there was a way to download maps offline prior to in both Android and iOS, but it was a pain in the neck. And if you got into an area and ask me how I know, because I was up until recently a T-Mobile customer.
Right.
If you got into an area where you had to deviate from the pre-programmed map, it did not work when you went back in to like redo your navigation. Like it just lost its mind, which I kind of thought was odd because what's the point of being able to cache the maps offline if the navigation engine doesn't work for crap, but it didn't. Apparently, coming soon for iOS and available today on Android, you can download maps and use them. I thought that was interesting. You don't get the real-time traffic, but they will base average speeds from previous traffic and still give you estimated transit times, which is really cool.
It is. And what's more, I mean, to me, it's what's really cool is that if you do DVR off your directions, you continue to get turn-by-turn directions and it will reroute, which I mean, that's really useful.
Yeah. And apparently it's a seamless handoff. So the app doesn't lose its mind or anything like that. I did read that their product manager said that they chose to take the, I believe they called it the conservative approach, which means that you have to manually go in and say, I want to download these maps. So you have to think ahead and think I may be navigating in an area where I might have sketchy data. Apparently one of the options that they discussed was having it do it automatically and basically look at if you're spending a lot of time looking at maps in an area where your carrier might have bad coverage, it would pre-cache for you.
Right.
But they decided not to do that because they did not have a way to know whether you had unlimited internet or if it was metered, and they didn't want to presume. Although I feel like they should make that an option because savvy users would be able to go in and say, yeah, it's fine. I want to go ahead and have you automatically cache for me. And people who aren't savvy, they could go with the conservative approach. But I think that's a fascinating thing that Google is able to do because of all of the information they collect about you that other companies have got to have a hard time, mimicking just because they don't have as much information about you.
Right.
So I thought that was really cool. Well, let's see here. I know we've been talking for a long time. Oh, I wanted to hit on this one really quick. Not that they really need my help because they are flying along, but Mystery Science Theater 3000 is mounting a comeback. I don't know if you were a fan, Jeff, but
absolutely.
I loved Mystery Science Theater 3000. So the original series creator, Joel Hodgson, has launched a campaign on Kickstarter. They are looking to raise $2 million for 3 new episodes, which to me sounds like a lot for 3 episodes. But if they raise $5.5 million, they will produce a full season of 12 episodes. If you go on Kickstarter and pledge, they have all of the usual swag available, shirts, coffee mugs, posters, and you can actually pay a whole bunch of money and get cameos in the new episodes. You could actually pay a bunch of money. I mean, I think it's like $10,000, and you actually get one of the robot puppets that was used in filming. And when the last time I went and looked at the campaign, I believe that both of those had been been claimed. When I started looking at this, I looked at it on November, November 10th. There were 31 days to go, and they had raised $385,000. I looked at this on Friday. They were up to $1.6 million. So the internet is giddy about this, and it needs to happen. I'm looking at it right now as we are recording this, and they are up to $1.75 million with 27 days left to go. So by the time this episode comes out, hopefully those three episodes are a lock.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably a lock for sure, right?
I am so happy about it. I loved Mystery Science Theater 3000. So please go give them $1, $5, $10. This is something that needs to happen, everybody. If just for me. I don't care about you so much, but for me.
Nice.
I already went and pitched in. I think it was $10 is the lowest pledge, something like that. So I gave them my $10. I just want it to be a thing that exists. I love them so much.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Very exciting.
What do you want to talk about? We probably have time for maybe one more story before we start wrapping it up.
I was going to say, I was ready to wrap it up. I'm yawning over here, man. I'm horrible.
You're killing me. You're killing me. All right, so we'll do a quick one, just because it is topical and timely. The first major Windows 10 update is rolling on out. And actually, this kind of applies because you mentioned Windows 10 for the Xbox One that we already talked about a little bit. So Microsoft has pushed out their first major update this week. I don't know that my desktop at home has gotten it yet, but it is available for tablets and PCs. Apparently, it focuses on improvements to Cortana, which I have not used.
I was going to say, have you used that yet?
Not at all.
There you go.
On Edge, the web browser, which I have not used, and just overall performance. And this is interesting. I read one article that mentioned a up to 30% boost in overall performance on the same hardware.
Wow.
So they are totally pulling an Apple and releasing an update that actually makes everything faster. The thing I thought was interesting, though, is some of the articles I read about stuff that they were updating were kind of like head scratchers. Like, this is what they're calling out as the major update, but it was things like Cortana now can track events and movie tickets and monitor travel times and let you know when you should leave to go to the theater. I thought it was kind of interesting. It will allow you to book Uber directly through the application. And Cortana is finally becoming available in Japan, Australia, Canada, and India. Edge, this is kind of neat. Edge is getting a new feature called a tab preview, where if you hover over a tab, it will kind of do a peek behind and show you the content on the web page, which I thought that was neat. One of the ones that really had me scratching my head, though, is they are introducing coupon alerts. And I'm like, really? It's the first major update? And this is one of the things that they're like, yeah, Microsoft's got coupon alerts now. So apparently you can set this up to get notifications of sales and discount at companies like Macy's and Best Buy. And I'm like, really? Is that like a feature worthy of being called out? Because there's websites that do that for you today. What?
Yeah.
And then it's rolling out on Xbox One, which I have no experience with. And sounds like you don't either now because your Xbox One has absconded.
No, I don't.
And apparently Windows phones in the very near future, which I have not used Windows phones. I sat down and took a inventory. I know six people who are Windows phone users, including a coworker, and every single one of them is a rabid fanatic of the system.
Yeah. Everyone that I know at least two or three people on top of that,
there's no ecosystem to speak of, but they still defend it like they were on the project team that wrote the thing. And really, only two of the six people I know are techies. The other people are all normies, and they are like, this is the best phone I've ever owned. So maybe there is something to Windows Phone. I can't really poo-poo it other than there's no applications to speak of, but I've not used the thing, and people I know just cannot get enough of it, so... It's coming soon, Windows 10, and that's got the, in theory it has, and, you know, hopefully it'll make it and won't get cut, but Microsoft is calling, I think they're calling it Windows 10 Universal.
Right.
I probably got a Windows fan out there who's screaming at me now, because that's probably not the official name, where developers can release one binary, then it'll run on a desktop, it'll run on a tablet, and it'll run on the phone, which that's a pretty good idea, and, you know, hopefully that will help Microsoft get apps, for the Windows Phone.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Not too schlably.
All right. Well, I know we're getting ready to bump up on an hour, and we got to talk about what we love, and we got a whole bunch of other stuff, but we will push it and save it for another week. I think next episode might be sciencey. So if you are science fans out there, hopefully we've got some.
We do actually have a lot of stuff on here that we can.
Some cool science stuff.
And I actually have two on my my little Feedly app that you don't have on there that are sciencey, so I'll get those added in.
Bring it on. Okay, so I guess let me talk about what I love, and then Jeff, you can go, and we will wrap it up and let these people get back to their fine day.
Okie dokie.
So I got the coolest gadget a couple weeks ago.
I'm supposed to go first.
Oh, because I wrap it up. I'm sorry. I am screwing everything up.
Man.
You would think I am on drugs, which I might be because my back hurts.
You would think you were the tired one. I'm the one that's tired. I don't understand why I shouldn't be tired.
It's been a long day.
You know, it has, but I have no reason to be tired. I have had plenty of sleep, and I just... I don't know. I don't know what it is.
You get your vitamins. You say your prayers. You're living clean, brother.
You know, here's a little news worthy thing. Since I started my new job, which has been just a little over 3 months, I have now lost 10% of my body weight.
That is awesome, man.
Which is awesome. Which I'm supposed to feel so much better. In the last 2 days, I have felt so tired. Like someone has put a weight on my shoulder.
I'm obviously
coming down with something or fighting something off or whatever, because I am just exhausted.
Let me deviate for 1 second before we start talking about what we love, because ever since I had surgery, I have had to track my macronutrients. So because the big thing I have to focus on is getting protein in, right? Mm-hmm. And so this week has just been a really bizarre week. I had some stuff that kept me up like all night the other night and whatnot. And today I was just like, man, I am exhausted. I have no energy. I don't know what's going on. And my wife said, you haven't had jack squat for protein for a few days. And I started looking at my app, and I have not had anywhere near what they say I need to get every day for protein. So, you know, I've not been eating very many calories, and I've not been eating my protein. And the last time I really felt run down and crappy, exactly the same thing. I am not getting enough protein in. So, like, have you checked and tracked your protein intake? Because it really could be that.
I don't know. I think I've been getting enough. I don't know. I think I'm just was just fighting something off. Anyway,
go get some protein shakes. Because it helps. Yeah. And I'm on my way to drink protein as soon as we're done.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
Just saying, get some protein in.
I will give it a shot.
It'll make you feel like a man. It'll put hair on your chest.
Okay, so what do I love?
What do you love?
I'm going to pick Limitless, the TV show. It was a new show this year based off the movie with Bradley Cooper.
I kind of like the movie. I kind of remember liking the movie. I don't remember it like super well, but I remember thinking it was a decent movie.
Yeah, the premise of the movie is, I think, kind of fun. It's the whole, you know, oh, if you take this pill, you can use 100% of your brain and you... they're smartest person alive.
And it like amps your brain up and you can think faster and all that.
And you can basically conjecture all possible combinations of everything. And so you can basically almost see into the future about what's going to happen. Anyway.
Right.
The show is based on that. It stars Jake McDormand.
Which I don't think I know him.
He has been in a few things. He was in... gosh darn it. I just looked this up because I remembered him being in a movie. He was in... come on, internet. You can do it. He was in the Live Free or Die Hard movie.
Oh, okay.
And he was in American Sniper.
Okay.
Those were the two that he was in recently that I've seen him in. Anyway, he plays in the movie... Bradley Cooper was the main guy taking the thing, and he was not like, you know, a dumb person before he started taking it. And obviously when he was taking it, it was even better. Mm-hmm. This guy is not like the thing that he plays like this really almost loser idiot kind of guy.
Okay.
When he's not on it. And then when he is on it. So there's a big schism between him on it and him not on it.
Okay.
He plays that really well. The biggest thing for me, it has Jennifer Carpenter, which if you watch Dexter, played Dexter's sister.
Yeah, I like her. I like everything I've seen her in.
Yeah, she was in The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which I really liked her in. I think she does an excellent job. I like the chemistry between those two. Last week's episode, there was kind of an homage to Ferris Bueller.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It kind of started with him, you know, I think I'm going to take the day off. And,
and you know, be the smartest person on the planet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was you know, fun and quirky and you know, a little hokey, but I enjoy hokey when it is talking about, you know, Ferris Bueller. So,
and is that a network show?
Yeah, it is. It's I believe,
but it's like not like NBC. It's like CW, isn't it?
No. It's one of the major ones. I think it's on ABC. But let me look.
I was thinking it was CW for some reason. Watched it, but I thought it looks good actually. And you're not the only person I know who has said that they really like it. A couple of coworkers have said that
It's on CBS.
Okay.
Tuesday evenings on CBS. It's actually really good. You're not so far behind that you can probably catch them all. I think they've had 7 episodes maybe.
Oh, that many. Okay.
Yeah. But I give it a shot. I think you would enjoy it. It's quite fun. It's got a rating of 8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
I'm obviously not alone in thinking that it's pretty well done. I enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun. And you know, the premise behind the movie was good anyway. So you know, the fact that they can kind of expand on that, and Bradley Cooper has actually been in 2 episodes.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So, you know, he's keeping his hand in it, and I think he's one of the executive producers of the show. So, obviously, it's something that he cares about. So, it's good. I like it.
I give you a point for that one, and after having to take away a point for Blindspot, or Blindside, whatever that one with the tattooed chick is, that is not... I do not like that.
Yeah, we're starting to give up on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just you that liked it, because everyone else I know who has given it a try has said, nah, I don't like that one so much.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah.
Very cool. So TV shows, I got to give a real quick plug, because I just discovered that this is a thing that exists now, and it makes me so happy. So if Mystery Science Theater was like a pivotal piece of like my formative years from probably about the age of 18 to 22, I don't know if you ever watched or even remember a show on HBO called Mr. Show with Bob Odenkirk and David Cross.
No.
Oh, my God. So there was a show, and it was on in the mid-90s. I'm not even going to hazard a guess as to exactly when it was, but if I had to, I would say probably like from 94 to 97, 98, something like that. And it was called Mr. Show, and it was a sketch program with Bob Odenkirk, who plays Saul on Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, and David Cross, who plays Tobias Funke on Arrested Development. He's been in the Alvin and the Chipmunks movies. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Just in case you were wondering, 95 to 98.
Okay, there you go, 95 to 98. So I was close. And, like, just bizarre sketch, like, really, like, you either loved it, which I did, or you were just like,
oh, but it also has Paul F. Tompkins in it?
It has Paul F. Tompkins. It has Brian Posehn. It's got some great people in it. And so, apparently, Netflix just put out a show, I think this last week, called W/With David and Bob, or Bob and David. And I guess they have said, this is not Mr. Show 2.0. It's freaking Mr. Show 2.0. And there's 12 or 13 episodes on IMDb right now. And I watched the first 2 last night, and I literally almost wet myself laughing. And I will say this, my wife the whole time kept looking at me saying, why are you watching this? This is awful. But it is so good. If you liked Mr. Show, you've got to check out With David and Bob. It is fantastic. So it's just my quick little plug. Wow. I love it. I love it. I love it. Go check it out. Super thumbs up Netflix for making that. I don't know if they'll make another one, because it is kind of weird, edgy, oddball. But God, it's so funny. What I really love is this gadget that I've seen it from time to time, and I've always thought, man, I'd like to have one of those. And then I saw one on Amazon for like $12, and I'm like, darn it, I'm getting one. And what it is it is electronic digital calipers. Why are you laughing at me? They're super useful.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Okay.
Keep
so,
going.
So what it is it's, I mean, you've seen calipers. They're those things that you measure things very precisely with. And so these are very accurate. Apparently, they are. They have a resolution of 0.01 millimeters or 0.0005 inches and an accuracy of 0.02 of a millimeter or 0.0001 of an inch. So it will measure both in metric and SAE. You can do outside measurements, inside measurements, and depth measurements. It comes with a handy little case and a spare battery. It's $11.99 on Amazon. I found one at a big box hardware store, almost identical for like $35. You can only go 6 inches, right? So if you don't need to measure like a sheet of plywood, and Jeff is losing his mind now with laughter because he is a 14-year-old trapped in a 40-year-old's body.
No, I just think this is one of the nerdiest things you have ever picked.
I thought it was because you could only measure 6 inches, which is plenty for me. I don't need to measure any more than 6 inches.
Actually, that too. No, I'm actually laughing just because... Seriously, like there is no reason any normal person needs digital calipers. There is nothing
awesome
that you need to measure to that precision ever.
I love them for being able to measure so accurately.
Oh my God.
Okay, so apparently I'm a big nerd, everybody. Thank you and good night.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I will. Okay. So do you want to know the reason that I got them?
Because yes,
the
I
reason
do.
I
please,
got them makes
please,
me
yes.
look even nerdier.
Okay.
So several years ago, I had bought a bunch of components for my big Christmas light show from China. And I decided that I didn't get ready this year. I'm not going to have the show this year, but next year, by golly, I'm gonna. And some of the PC parts from China have changed in the last 3 years.
Right.
So they make these waterproof 4-pin connectors that are needed to run low voltage wiring for RGB components, because you need ground and then you need, well, I think actually technically you need power and then you need ground for your red, your blue, and your green. And I did not know what size the connectors were, and they now sell three sizes. There's like a 12 millimeter, a 13.5 millimeter, and a 15 millimeter. And I needed to know. I don't have a metric ruler, so I was like, $12, I'm going to get these calipers so I can measure the end of these connectors so I know what connector I need to get. And guess what? Worked perfectly. It was exactly 13.5 millimeters.
Perfect.
So
that's awesome.
I'm a big nerd who has a bigger nerd hobby and bought a nerdy thing to indulge his nerdism. I get that.
You know, you could have bought a little ruler from Home Depot for like 42 cents.
But I have digital calipers.
You do. And what are you ever going to use those for?
Okay,
nothing.
So I tweeted a teaser pic of a cool
project. I wonder if my
9mm
ammunition is actually 9mm. Yep, it is.
Exactly. Okay, now I'm going to go measure my bullets. I tweeted a pic last week of a project that I'm working on that I'm working on documenting it, and I'm going to put up a cool little video on the show for everybody. And I used the depth gauge capabilities on that project.
You should use it. You just use it to measure your girly hands so you can tell what size girly hands you have that don't fit the 6 plus.
Okay, so interestingly enough, my wedding ring is supposed to be 6 millimeters,
and
it is actually like 5.9 millimeters. So they cheated me out of 0.1 millimeter.
That's typical.
Yeah, you just can't find quality stuff anymore, is all I'm saying.
I don't know. I mean, look, hey, being able to measure stuff accurately, very important in certain situations. I just can't think of a single one that I would ever have.
I need to measure things to 0.1 of an inch, apparently.
Like I said, that's awesome.
I have no justification other than the fact it was $11.99.
Dude, I just bought a car. What am I, like, what,
exactly.
Who am I to judge? It was $12.
Anyway, if you are one of the few people out there that does need to measure things accurately to 0.1 of an inch, for $12 on Amazon, you can do so, as long as you don't need to measure more than 6 inches.
Oh, you could probably measure like your tire tread. That could be useful.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. Like $12 right there, and you know if you need to buy new tires or not. You don't have to do the stupid penny trick. Why have you not already put it in your basket and ordered it? That's all I'm saying.
I can't think of any reason. That might
you
be
just
a good
bought a
stock
car. You need to know if your tires are good.
Stuffer. Yeah, that could be a good stocking stuffer. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good stocking stuffer for the nerd / total nerd in your life. They will appreciate it.
Super uber nerd would really appreciate it.
They would. All right. I'm just going to cut my losses here. I am not feeling the love. I think this is as good a point as any to wrap up. Everybody, you have just listened to an episode of the No Better Than Average podcast. I don't know if it was a fine episode. I can't tell anymore. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. We have a good time doing it and bringing it to you. If you've got a question, a rant, you want to talk about something we said on a past show, make fun of us, whatever it is, why don't you give us a call? We'd love to hear from you. You never call anymore. More would be. You can do that. You can give us a call at 317-643-1212. You will talk to an answering machine. You will not even have to talk with us. No socially awkward small talk required. We would love to hear from you. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, we would like that too. You can do that at No Better Show. You can visit our website, www.nobettershow.com. Hey, why don't you take a second to, you know, send us an email, feedback@nobettershow.com. Or give us a call. We would love to know if you guys have any ideas for another music challenge or maybe some other challenge or something that you'd like to hear us talk about. That would be awesome. We read all of our email. We listen to all of our voicemails. And if yours is interesting, we would be happy to read it on the air and make you internet famous. If you like the show, we would super appreciate it if you would take a second to give us a quick review or a couple of stars on iTunes. We have not gotten any ratings in a while, and that makes us sad. A few kind words and a handful of stars goes a long way to helping us out. It really does. I mean, we're not just saying that because it's something that we say every week. When you guys are rating and writing reviews, it helps tell iTunes that we are worthy, and it puts us in better placement. It helps us grow the audience. And, you know, as we continue to grow the show, we hope to be able to do some cool things and get some review items and maybe be able to give those things away to you. And that, you know, help us help you. We want to give you cool stuff. And, you know, we both are just working schmucks, so we can't get all the cool stuff ourselves. We've got to have enough listeners to help us convince these companies to give us cool stuff that we can give away. So that would be awesome. We hope you guys had a good time listening. We hope you're having a great week. You have just listened to the No Better Than Average podcast, so hopefully now you know better than average too. Have a great week, everybody, and we will be back next week with more show.
Have a good week, everybody.